listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mothers. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy. How are we doing today, Matt?
I'm doing awesome, man.
I want to say hello to everybody at the SDR Network, Stranger Days Radio. Thanks for listening there.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having us there. And still, you can find us on iTunes and cinemajaw.com. And now, right in the Facebook fan page, dude.
Indeed. And also, really quick, our website got a makeover this week. Check it out. Cinemajaw.com looks totally different. I think it's a huge improvement. What do you think, Matt?
I'm proud of it, yes. I definitely think it's better. And I did it so Reno could show it to his mom.
He's proud of it now. Everybody's proud of it. It's a great site. Check it out, cinemajaw.com. And always, we appreciate your feedback. Email us at mattandry@cinemajaw.com.
Yeah, and that's MATTANDRY. So it kind of looks like Matt Andry, but that's not my name. It's mattandry@cinemajaw.com.
All right, and you know what? We have a huge guest coming back this week, as promised. As promised, we are bringing her back for the Oscar episode. Without further ado, Kathy Byrne of the Chicago Film Office.
Thank you. Glad to be back. I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm very excited to do the show. Congratulations.
Kathy loves Oscars. And
yes,
that's why we brought her on, to discuss Oscars. Get her predictions on the Oscars. So if you want to win that pool at home, listen to Kathy Byrne's picks. Listen to Matt Kay's picks, and maybe listen to Ry the Movie Guy's picks.
Yes, definitely. And if you're taking odds in Vegas, listen to Kathy's picks.
Just don't spend any money
on it. So
we're
going to have some fun with that. We're going to start off with our usual Eye for an Eye. We got a big movie coming out, Matt.
Cool.
Alice in Wonderland. Tim Burton takes a stab at the Lewis Carroll's timeless tale of a young girl lost within a fantasy land with this 3D production of Alice in Wonderland. The Lion King's Linda Wolverton provides the script, with Hollywood heavyweights Richard Zudnick and Joe Roth heading up the production team. Burton veteran collaborator Johnny Depp co-stars as the Mad Hatter in the Walt Disney production picture. Matt, interested or ignore?
I'm interested. This looks like a feast for the eyes.
I'm interested as well. Kathy?
Very interested.
Three bells there. We got three bells for Alice in Wonderland.
I'm interested, but my hopes are a little sketchy. I'm not sure if this is going to be great. And doesn't Johnny Depp, tell me if I'm wrong here, doesn't he look like Madonna in that poster?
He does. Even in the preview a little bit. Yeah. Sort of like back in her... Like a prayer heyday.
Well, yeah, when she still had the gap in her teeth. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the poster again. He definitely looks like maybe Madonna and Carrot Top's love child.
There you go.
Okay, that's my pick.
I'm glad to see that this one is in 3D, and I'm glad that it's in 3D. I think a lot of times it's unnecessary. This is going to be a fun watch. It's a Tim Burton, and his take on Alice in Wonderland gives it a whole different idea than if it was, say, a Robert Zemeckis or somebody else doing it. This is Tim Burton doing Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp. Yes, I'm going to see this one in the theater.
I think I would have preferred to see Tim Burton do something new. New that hasn't been done yet. Yeah, he's so creative. I don't like to see him on a remake, you know?
Yeah, because it's Alice in Wonderland. He also did, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory a couple years ago.
What do you think?
Just taking our childhood classics and twisting them a little bit.
Yes, quite.
In his Tim Burton way.
Exactly. And this is not going to be our, you know, childhood Alice in Wonderland, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's a safe bet. That's a safe bet.
All right, so we got three interesteds for Alice in Wonderland. We'll see how that turns out. All right, so we did get out to the movie theater this week, me and Matt. And first up, I saw The Messenger.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you about The Messenger, Matt. Let me start off by saying this. If I had seen this film before I came out with my top 10 list of 2009, this would have been on there. The story follows two military messengers whose jobs are to inform the next of kin of the death of their family member in war. Woody Harrelson pours in an excellent supporting role, but not to be overshadowed is the also superb performance of Ben Foster playing the youngest soldier recently assigned to Harrelson. Both characters are complex. The film is filled with powerful scene after powerful scene. Layered into the story is the friendship of the two messengers that they begin to have and ultimately need to go on with their duties. This is a courageous movie that needs to be seen. And I am appalled, Matt, and sickened that the candy-coated The Blind Side is nominated for Movie of the Year when it is clear to me that The Messenger is a far superior movie that deserves to be highlighted. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, A- on The Messenger. I love this movie.
Well, he had to just sneak that little jab at Blindside in there.
I did. I knew I was coming strong with
it. Why do you have to hate the one movie to make the other one seem better?
Well, shame. I'm just saying, I didn't like The Blind Side, and it even bothers me more that it's nominated for Academy Award when something as good as The Messenger is held out.
The Messenger, Woody Harrelson's performance is nominated.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the movie, like I said, I think it was one of the year's 10 best. It should have been in there.
I got to see this film. Haven't seen it yet.
It's an awesome movie. Now,
I agree with your top 10. I agree with that. Yeah, I wouldn't slam The Blind Side for it, but
Kathy liked The Blind Side.
I know.
And I loved The Messenger. It's an excellent, excellent, excellent movie.
If you had to put one above the other, where would you put it?
I wouldn't, because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you all know from my last visit, I loved The Blind Side.
That's a bit of a cop-out, though. That's like my mom. She always said, I love you guys all the same to me and my brothers and sisters.
Well, no, because she doesn't.
She loved me best.
Absolutely. Right. See? But you can't compare I don't even know that The Blind Side is a comedy, but Messenger is such a heavy... I would compare The Messenger to The Hurt Locker, but to The Blind Side?
Incomparable.
Incomparable.
If you put both of those up next to each other, which should win Best Oscar for Best Picture? I would say The Messenger.
All right, there. We got an answer out of her.
However, which movie would I see more than once, or would I tell people, oh my gosh, you have to go see? The Blind Side.
All right, so we've got the difference there. I'd say The Messenger on both those occasions.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
It's apples and oranges, Rye.
Yeah.
It is, thank you.
So, I really, strong words for The Messenger. Go see this if you can find it. If not, when it comes out on video, rent it.
That's why the Golden Globes has a comedy and drama category.
Makes it easier.
Because it's hard to put it up against each other.
Yes. I agree with that, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
I also got out to see The Young Victoria. Emily Blunt. Matt, I'm turning into a huge fan of Emily Blunt.
I am as well.
Yeah, she plays young Victoria in her difficult first years as Queen of England. Thought to be too young and naive to rule, her uncle pushes her to sign a regence document, which means she would not take the throne until a later age, 25 years old. However, Victoria refuses and must learn the difficulties of ruling while being queen. That's just the backdrop. The heart of the story involves Prince Albert, the love of her life. The two marry and take a little time to find the right working relationship as Victoria balances her love life with her political career. With these English period films, you can always expect beautiful costumes and beautiful cinematography. The acting by Emily Blunt is solid, but not very noteworthy, I guess. The story may not be that dramatic. That's probably its only fault. It's just not that dramatic of a story to tell, but it is a simple love story. I appreciated it. Rye the Movie Guy, B.
Yeah, I'm digging Blunt and all the Prince Albert jokes aside here. I'm actually kind of curious to see her role. I'm not a big fan of the Victorian era, and this being a story about Victoria herself, maybe I'll skip this one. I don't know.
Yeah, to be honest, the story... As it was unfolding, I thought, well, it's not all that dramatic. It's just a good love story. If it was a queen that took the throne very young, had some difficult times, but nothing extremely dramatic happened in that all that time. But I still appreciated the movie. Kathy also saw it, and I think she agrees with me.
I agree with you, Rye. Absolutely. I like those kind of movies, though, just for the historical value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was, and we're kind of dealing with it now if Prince William were to... Right, become king. It's that mm-hmm. same thing of somebody so young.
Yeah, but the royals don't really even do anything anymore.
They didn't then either.
No.
Well,
they have political advisors.
Well, exactly, but it's that whole, you know, whatever the profession is, to be the head of something at that age. And that's kind of, it was interesting. How do you balance that?
Kind of like Paris Hilton.
Falling in love and all that, right? Exactly like Paris Hilton. At 16, taking over the Hilton Empire.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It was tough for her.
And Matt, you got out to the theater.
I did. What were the two you saw?
I saw The Messenger, A-,
uh-huh.
Young Victoria, B.
Uh-huh. I saw The Wolf Man.
Yeah!
That's what I saw.
Coming strong.
The Wolf Man. This movie absolutely blew my mind. I went out expecting to see The Wolf Man, and I was not let down. Benicio del Toro plays the title character, and... blown away by the performance of Sir Anthony Hopkins, who absolutely steals the show. Also, Emily Blunt is in this one as well, which is, and it's funny because this is also Victorian
era. Yes.
Yeah. Hugo Weaving pops up as a Scotland Yard investigator, and he's just great. Very, very Agent Smith with one of those handlebar all the way around the chin mustaches.
Nice.
It's awesome. The special effects were amazing, and mostly practical special effects. When we see the Wolfman, it's the Wolfman, you know, with the ripped suit, and that just made me smile. Like, this is the Wolfman of our childhood, of the, you know, the guy in the suit that walks around Universal Studios at the theme park. That's who we saw. That's who I wanted to see. But when the transformations were happening and stuff, they were really, really cool. So it was a fun movie. Was it particularly challenging? No. There was some really bad dialogue, but delivered by actors like Del Toro and Hopkins, they handled it perfectly.
Nice.
And it actually, you can give these guys bad dialogue, and they deliver it well.
Mm-hmm.
The set pieces were mind-blowing because they filmed it on location, and you know, plenty of smog, like smoke effects and stuff. It was cheesy, plenty of gore and blood, lots of action for the dudes, but the love story was there to keep your girlfriends or wives entertained, I think. This is a movie for the whole family. Maybe not the kids.
Whole family. I love it.
Maybe not the kids unless I'd say 13 and up. There's some definitely scary moments, some real startles and jumps
mm-hmm.
that were fun. You know, like they get you and then immediately they get you again. You know, it was great. A lot of fun. Can't recommend The Wolfman high enough. I don't have a grade per se, but this is going to be on my top 10 at the end of the year, I think.
Wow. Strong words for the Wolfman, Kathy.
No, I'm sorry for my ignorance on the whole Wolfman genre. However, how does it hold up against I Was a Teenage Werewolf? Or is a werewolf different than Wolfman?
I'd put this up against Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Is that Jason Bateman? Who's
no,
Teen
that's
Wolf?
Teen Wolf 2. The original was Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Did this make your sequel list?
No.
Oh, see?
No.
Darn.
Teen Wolf 2 did not make our
okay.
sequel.
Okay.
I think we mentioned it, though.
Like yeah. It's like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's more comparable to that one.
No, it blows it away. This is...
Oh, okay.
Teen Wolf was a comedy. This is a drama.
Do you even know what I Was a Teenage Werewolf is? Michael
yeah,
Landon?
Okay, Michael Landon. Go ahead. I'm aware of the film.
Because I have to forget that I am, you know, much older. Go ahead.
Well, this... I Was a Teenage Werewolf. I mean, that's going way back, Kathy. Come on.
I know.
I like that film. I do.
Before I was born.
That's another thing I forgot to mention. We get that howling at the moon in this movie. I mean, really, I was kind of like, Wolfman, how much do I really like the Wolfman? But when I saw it and heard the howling at the moon and the silver bullets, I'm like, that's cool. I dug it. You're going to like this movie.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Go see it.
And they did not do it for the paycheck.
No.
Okay.
And Anthony Hopkins. Holy crap.
Well, you know. He can, you know, sit and watch grass grow and make it fascinating.
Indeed.
I agree. And, you know, speaking of Anthony Hopkins, it's a great way to bring into our Oscar segment here. Because
perfect.
This guy was Mr. Oscar early on in his career, you know. The thing I wanted to mention, too, really quick, what we're going to do is at the end of this, we have a poster for The Crazies, which is coming out, and that we're going to give this away to the first person who emails us at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. Give us your Oscar predictions, and we're going to put that up against Kathy Burns' Oscar predictions. And if you beat Kathy, you win the poster. So
awesome.
Email us.
Enter often because it won't be difficult. Don't be scared off by that intro.
All right, so we all got our picks. Basically, we're going to go over the main categories, and very simple. We're going to say who we think's going to win and who we want to win.
Can I read that? Can I do the and the nominees are
and. Okay, yes, you can.
Thank you.
In your cheesy radio voice.
And the nominees are, okay.
Oh, they're...
All right.
Like
there
movie
is.
Phone.
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead.
So we're going to start off with animated film.
Awesome.
Okay.
And the nominees are...
Yeah. best animated feature film of the year. And the nominees are Coraline, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, The Princess and the Frog, The Secret of Kells, and Up.
Okay.
Man, I botched that.
I'm going to start. I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's a real far limb here, and say that Up is going to win the Academy Award. That is who I predict. But I would love, love for it to go to Fantastic Mr. Fox. It was my favorite animated film of the year. But Up is nominated for Movie of the Year, not just Animated Film of the Year. So who we kidding here? I think it's a shoo-in to win Animated of the Year.
Kathy?
I am going to agree with Rye and say that Up was going to win. And the only other movie I saw was Coraline. And just to be supportive of Rye, I will say I also would like Fantastic Mr. Fox to win.
Nice,
but yeah, no, I think Up. But wouldn't that be the upset of all upsets if Up wins Best Picture?
Yes.
And something else wins the animated feature?
Wow.
I'm going to throw that out as an upset. But yeah, I'm going to go with Up and Fantastic Mr. Fox as my hope.
Wow, right. That should be a special odds bet right there.
Right.
All right. My pick for animated feature of the year is Up as well. I think this is, like you said, Rye, it's a shoo-in. Who would I like to see win? Honestly, I'm going with Coraline
Sweet
here.
Sweet Coraline.
Ba, ba, ba. It was my favorite. This movie, like, really, I wasn't expecting it. And when I walked away from it after watching it, it really left me with a lingering, creepy feeling that I enjoyed. I liked it.
Of course.
That's animated movie for Matt Kay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a horror movie.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to the category of Best Original Screenplay.
Best Original... See, my list is all out of order here.
Oh, boy.
Best Original Screenplay. I'm searching for it.
And the nominees are
The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, The Messenger, A Serious Man, and Up.
We're going to let Kathy go first on this
one. Oh, fantastic.
Who do you think is going to win? Who do you want to win?
Who is going to win is Inglourious Basterds, and who I think should win is The Messenger.
Nice picks, Kathy.
What do you think of that?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Bounces over to me. I'm a little bit different here. I actually think The Hurt Locker is going to win. And not that I wanted to, because if I am going by my heart, I would like to see Quentin Tarantino get this for Inglourious Basterds. That's who I would want to win. So I hope Kathy's right on her prediction there.
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm going to go backwards here and say I agree with you, Rye, that I would like to see Inglourious Basterds win.
Mm-hmm.
But my pick for Best Original Screenplay, I'm going with A Serious Man. I don't know why. I think it's the dark horse, and I've heard a lot of buzz around this one. Even though I admit I haven't seen it, I'm just hearing the buzz.
Yeah, well, that's who you predict.
That's nice. My pick.
All right. Now we move on to Best Adapted Screenplay.
And the nominees are, see, I'm right on the ball this time.
Yes.
District 9, An Education, In the Loop, Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, and Up in the Air.
We're going to start with you, Matt.
All right. My pick for Best Adapted Screenplay, honestly, I think they're going to give it to Precious. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, and it's got to win a very serious Oscar. So I think they're going to give it this one. But who would I like to see win? District 9.
Nice.
I admit, I haven't seen District 9 yet, but all the hype and the marketing around this movie made it very near and dear to my heart. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. You know what? They love to sort of give what they think is sort of deserving of a big award here at the Screenplay Award. They like to make a message here, the voters. I think they're going to give it to Precious also, because I don't think it's going to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. And I agree with you, Matt. It needs a major award. This is it. It's not going to get director. It's not going to get picture. We'll talk about it later
in
on.
Some other
when
categories.
Best supporting. But it's going to get this, I think. What would I like to win? My movie of the year, An Education. Nick Hornby. I love this movie. It was fantastic, and I'd love to see it pull it off, but I don't think it's going to happen. Kathy?
I think Up in the Air is going to win, and I want it to win.
Nice.
So I can have the same one, right?
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
That's what's going to happen.
That's a strong pick right there.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? I could see it winning, actually, too. It's a very timely subject matter.
Sure.
So maybe it does pull it off.
And that's not going to get Best Picture or anything else. And
you're
so,
right.
And I agree with your philosophy for Precious, but I'm applying that to Up in the Air.
Nice. That moves us to...
I'm taking notes because I do have a bet going on.
That's why we invited you here. Don't bet money on
that
this.
That moves us to Best Supporting Actress, Matt.
Best Supporting Actress, and the nominees are Sandra Bullock, The Blind Side.
No, you're way off.
Oh, that's a leading.
Yes.
Sorry, supporting, you said.
Yes.
Penelope Cruz, 9. Vera, I'm going to mispronounce her name. Farmiga. Farmiga, thank you, Kathy. Up in the Air. Maggie Gyllenhaal for Crazy Heart. Anna Kendrick for Up in the Air. And Monique for Precious. And I'm just going to drop the whole based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yes.
That's way too
Please.
Long.
Please, and they should have dropped it too.
Yes,
indeed.
I agree. Should have just been Precious.
Right.
It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And let me just say, in this category, who does not have a chance? and that's all the actresses other than Monique. I think Monique is going to win, and I want Monique to win. Swing it around to Kathy.
I agree. And would this be the upset of the Oscars, history of the Oscars, if she doesn't win?
It would be. I mean, it's
right.
An
it's a shoo-in. It yes. is. If you're going to put money on anything, this would be it.
Yes.
And I want her to win. She deserves to win. That performance, I think we talked about it last time, mm-hmm. blew me away. I wasn't crazy about the movie, but her performance blew me away. And she deserves it, and I have high expectations for her Oscar speech. I think it's going to be amazing, and it better be.
And it comes early in the show. They like to do the supporting exactly. actors and actresses early in the show, so tune in early. Go ahead, Matt.
I agree with both of you guys. I think not only does Monique have the shoe in, but she's kind of who I'm rooting for as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm agreeing with Kathy on all points. This was sort of written on the wall right after the movie came out that Monique is... going to get this award. I'm
so that,
with it.
That moves us to supporting actor, as we all agree on Monique for actress. Supporting actor, Matt.
All right, and the nominees are, I like saying that. They should hire me. If you're listening, Oscar people, I'm available. Matt Damon for Invictus, Woody Harrelson for The Messenger, Christopher Plummer for The Last Station, Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones, and Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds.
Kathy?
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
This is it.
Oh, boy.
This is... I've gotten to the point in my life, because I love the Oscars, I've gotten to the point in my life where I like to look at a category, and as long as I'm not violently ill against one person winning, and even when I'm fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this category, if Christoph Waltz wins, I'm going to have a fit. And yes,
really?
He's going to win. I can't even stand it. And I'm sure he's a lovely man, but I think we talked about this before, too. Was not so crazy about Inglourious Basterds, whatever, I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He's going to win.
Taking
That's
notes
fine.
Once again.
He's upset. I am upset, and this is
if
one
I
of the ones.
If I could paint the picture for everybody listening, if, you could just you know, tell me. She's upset by this.
I'm upset. Who would I like to see win? I would like there to be a tie.
Oh, man.
Between.
And the winner is. It's a tie.
Hey, it's happened before. Between Stanley Tucci, who I thought was brilliant in The Lovely Bones.
Here it
creepy,
comes.
Creepy. And Woody Harrelson, who I think this was a career... performance for him in a very little movie that I don't think anybody has seen, but he is amazing in it. And I just saw The Last Station, so quite frankly, Christopher Plummer can win too. As long as Christoph doesn't, but I know he will. How I feel about
all
it.
All my Facebook comments were picking Christoph Waltz. So
he's going to win. He's yeah. almost a shoo-in like Monique is,
yes,
but I'm not happy about
it. And you know what? Now that I've seen Woody Harrelson in The Messenger, I think it's a much tougher category because I have not seen The Lovely Bones. And all I've heard is that Stanley Tucci is awesome in The Lovely Bones. So that's one in there. Christoph Waltz, who I liked in Inglourious Basterds, is excellent. I've seen Woody Harrelson. He's excellent. This is a very difficult one to pick, but I think Christoph Waltz wins. I think he deserves to win. I think Matt Damon here, as much as I liked him in Invictus, is sort of out of his element here. He doesn't even deserve to be in this category.
I agree.
But I'm going to go with
But
Christoph
I'd still
Waltz
prefer
winning.
Him over Christoph Waltz.
And I predict he wins, and I guess I want him to win as well. Matt?
I got my prediction for winner is actually Stanley Tucci, but I'm starting to rethink that.
I would love it if he won. Wouldn't that be
Matt.
A surprise? I would love it.
No, I'm not sticking with it, man.
I want to win the money.
I want to win the money.
But that could be an upset. I could see that being an upset. I really could because he's very loved, and I think he was in Julie and Liberty. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be something? I'd love it.
Yeah, I think
he's
due. He's due. But
things have happened, Kathy.
They have.
Everybody thought Eddie Murphy was a shoo-in for
Harlem Nights.
No,
Nutty Professor.
Dream Girls.
Oh, that's right.
And
who won?
Pushing for him, and it ended up going to Alan Arkin for Little Miss
right.
Sunshine.
And he walked out, didn't he?
He walked out of the awards, and now he'll never be voted for again.
Exactly.
He really walked out?
Yes.
So let's hope Christoph Waltz walks out.
Maybe he'll waltz out.
That would be fine by me.
But Christoph Waltz is my pick for who I would like to see win.
Yeah. And I, for your sake, I hope he does. Well, but you said Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci is who I think will win.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I'll go with that.
Now, before we move to our actor and actresses, let's swing it around. We talked about this a little bit before we went on air. We had a little time. I wanted to know this. Any traditions that you guys have for Oscar Day We're going to start with Kathy. Do you do anything, something special, something odd for the Oscars?
I do not. Part of my Oscar tradition is watching the Barbara Walters special, which, thank goodness,
Barbara Walters.
Right, in Chicago, we get it before the show. On the West Coast, they get it after the show. But I need to watch the show alone because I can't have talking during the show. But
now
I do want
to
give...
Bell. No talking.
I got to disagree
right?
there. I'm a big party guy for that.
Yeah,
Oscars.
No, can't. Party for anything else. I do a Grammy party. Anything else I can do. Oscars, I went to a party one time and I was guaranteed that nobody would talk. And you know what? It was the year Bruce Springsteen was singing for
Philadelphia.
Great. And people were making fun of his performance. And I went, oh, I've got to get out of here. I can't even stand it.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine dresses up in her father's tuxedo that he wore at his wedding, and that's her tradition. So, you know,
can you mention
everybody
this
has...
by name, or are you sworn to secrecy?
I wouldn't do that.
Let's get a first name.
I wouldn't do that.
Initials.
Okay. CG.
All right.
You know who you are.
I thought it was
But
CG.
I think that's great. But I think that's great.
Matt?
I don't have a tradition per se. Like I said, though, I am a party guy. But for the last... this year is the first year we're not doing a big Oscar party at Mother's.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, we did the ballots. And Maddie Nolan, who we had come on last week to do trivia with us, actually dressed up as... I'm trying to say Joan Crawford, but...
Joan Rivers.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Joan Crawford. What was I thinking? Mommy dearest. So Maddie, who you met, mm-hmm. dressed as Joan Rivers. Can you only imagine this?
Unbelievable, yeah.
Unbelievable. So I would put on my tuxedo, come down here to Mother's for the longest time, and I just it's removed from the internet. there was this picture of Maddie, and let's just say his bits and pieces were hanging out at the bottom of it. He had his leg up on somebody.
Oh, man.
You could see it. For the world to see, he called me up one day, hey, Matt, can you take this picture off the internet? I was like, whoa, yeah, I'll get right on that.
Hello.
Hey-o.
Yeah. You know, something that I do, it started a few years ago, and it's a fun tradition to do, is the day of the Oscars, early on, I go ahead and watch a past Best Picture winner on DVD.
That's good.
I rent it or in my collection. So I'll pull out like a Lawrence of Arabia or something newer like No Country for Old Men. But I'll watch something that won Best Picture and I'll watch it the day of as I get ready for the Oscars. Nothing really during the ceremony. You know, I eat some appetizers. But very much like Kathy, I can't stand any phone calls. I don't want anybody over talking. I want to watch it because I want to see all the categories and make sure I the right people deserve to win.
I do accept phone calls during the commercial so that we can rip on somebody's speech or dress or whatever, but not during the show.
All right, so that moves us to Best Actress. This is going to be a fun one, Matt. Best Actress.
Best Actress in a leading role, and the nominees are Sandra Bullock, The Blind Side, Helen Mirren for The Last Station, Carey Mulligan in Education, and Gabourey Sidibe, am I saying it wrong?
Sidibe,
from Precious. I should know that from listening to your episode of Cinema Job.
One more.
Meryl Streep for Juliet and Julia.
I'm going to go first on this one because I don't even want...
Don't want to hear my pick.
We should take Kathy's microphone away right here. But I'm going to go ahead and go first. Who I want to win, I've talked about in Education. I love this movie. I would love Carey Mulligan to win. She's very young, so I know the way they vote, and they think, oh, she's got another chance. I know everybody's telling me Sandra Bullock's the favorite, and I can't bear to hear that the Academy can make a mistake like this. That would be appalling, absolutely appalling. I will be so angry. I cannot tell you if Sandra Bullock wins this. It's actually going to bother me so much. So I'm going to say that I believe the Academy is going to get this right because I believe they will. Meryl Streep will win for Julie and Julia.
What?
I like Carey Mulligan, but it's going to be Meryl Streep. Go ahead, Kathy.
I don't even think Meryl Streep is really in the running at all.
No, that could be an upset. But Sandra Bullock will win and should win.
Oh, I knew you were going
to
say it.
And she's who you want to win as well?
And that's who I want to win.
Oh,
and but other than Gabby, I'd be fine with any of them winning because I think they were all great. But this is Sandra's. This is it.
Wait. Other than Gabourey,
I wouldn't give her Best Actress. I don't know.
I agree.
I just
okay.
It was okay. not best actress, but I wouldn't be as violent about Christoph Waltz, but...
Yeah. But see, Kathy's bought into this idea that, like you just said, this is it for Sandra Bullock. This is her year. I just feel like she's done such mediocre work, and now this is a little bit over mediocre, so now everybody wants to just give her the award.
No.
Boo, Academy.
Miss Congeniality, anybody?
And we'll... No, no, no. But you know what? She hasn't deserved it, and I have issues with the career Oscar thing, which we'll get to in our next category. I have a problem with that, and sometimes it's unfortunate. When we were talking earlier about, like, when Jamie Foxx is up for Ray and Leonardo DiCaprio is up for Aviator, you know, that was a career movie for Leo. I mean, that was his... That performance was amazing, and he happened to lose that year because Jamie's was his moment, you know what I mean? So we're going to be giving Leo an Oscar here soon
somewhere
to make up
the road,
for
right.
the fact, and it may not be his best performance.
I hate that, too.
And
it
I hate
happens.
That. Yep. But it happens because it happens. I don't think that's happening
lame.
With Sandra Bullock because she hasn't had Oscar-worthy type performances up
not
until...
Not even close.
But this wasn't
right?
either. This was not either. I've seen it. Kathy, you can't convince me.
I don't need to convince you. I have convinced the Academy.
That's right.
And our listeners who are going to vote for Sandra Bullock in order to win the poster.
Matt, what do you think? Don't talk Sandra Bullock to me now.
Well,
what
honest,
do you think?
Honestly,
Bullocks.
I mean, no.
Gotta go with the odd makers.
Never mind the bollocks. I think Sandra Bullock is going to win this, Rye. I hate to break it to you, but that's the sad truth.
This is terrible.
I'm not happy about that fact either, but I'm not quite as angry as you are. Clearly angry. For me, I don't really care. Sandra Bullock, whatever. I guess who would I like to see win? I don't know. I guess I'd kind of like to see Gaboray Sidibe win. I don't know. She's new on the scene, fresh face.
She's going to be making a lot of movies, I'm sure.
Understand the ripple effect of this, Matt. If Sandra Bullock wins, then the next crappy romantic comedy you see her in, if it's The Boss's Bad Day, it's going to say Academy Award winner Sandra Bullock in The Boss's Bad
Day. Hey. First of all, can we say...
unworthy of winning this award. This is really going to anger me.
I see. I've got the perfect comment for that, and I can't think of the movie. Reno, help me. Cuba Gooding Jr., Academy Award winner in what was the boat movie?
Jerry Maguire.
No, what was the boat movie he made after that?
Pearl Harbor.
No.
Pearl Harbor did not win an Academy Award.
You're talking about the
gay cruise ship movie.
Boy, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So there.
That won an Academy Award?
No. Cuba Gooding Jr., Academy Award winner, starring in...
Booty Call or something.
Whatever.
Booty Call.
Yes.
Thank you. See?
All right.
It happens all the time.
All right. That moves us to our next quarter. Bullocks. We could go on and on. Actor, Matt, we got best actor in a leading role.
Best actor in a leading role. The nominees are Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart, George Clooney for Up in the Air, Colin Firth, A Single Man, Morgan Freeman for Invictus, and Jeremy Renner for Hurt Locker. Did I say his name wrong?
All right, Kathy, I know you want to go on with your spiel here because you can already tell her that she does not want Jeff Bridges in this category, so go ahead.
No, it's not that I don't want him in this category. I thought he did wonderful. But this is going to be a career Oscar, and he will win it.
Yes.
And it will be for his career.
Yes.
This is not the best movie he's ever been in.
Nope.
He did a great job. It's really kind of interesting because who would I like to see win other than him? None of them. But I don't necessarily want to see him win either. I'm very conflicted with this category because I would have to look at a list of movies that were done last year. Mm-hmm. None of them are, like, jumping out at me going, oh, it has to be them.
Couldn't agree more, Kathy.
Really? Okay, good.
Very weak
good.
Year, actually, is
right?
for the actor. Usually you want, like, a couple of fine performances.
Right?
Or one that just steals the show.
Yeah.
All of these, even as good as Jeff Bridges, wasn't Crazy Heart. And I liked it.
Yes.
And I'm fine with them giving him the award because, like you said, it probably is a career award, but at the same point,
we were
at
all
least
saying
it's worthy.
Him.
At least it's worthy. It's not a terrible performance.
No, it's worthy.
It's a fine performance, so I don't mind him winning for it.
Absolutely.
But it is more for the career
correct.
And the performance than it is just the performance.
But up against these films, I guess maybe he is the front runner.
But maybe he is, because maybe it was a weaker year. But like before we went on air, where was the lead actor for District 9 in there? I thought this man did an excellent job. He was not listed. So maybe they got it wrong, but with the nominees. Out of this, I think Jeff Bridges will win, and I want Jeff Bridges to win out of the nominees.
I concur. I'm with you. I think Jeff Bridges will win, and I want him to win.
Yes. That brings us, we got two categories left. Best director, Matt.
Best director, James Cameron for Avatar. Catherine Bigelow, The Hurt Locker. Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds. Lee Daniels for Precious. And Jason Reitman for Up in the Air.
I'll start with this one. This is a very competitive category because this is really going to be something to see. Okay, let me give you a little backdrop. No female director has ever won the Academy Award. It could change this year. I think Catherine Bigelow is going to win. I really do think she's going to win. Who do I want to win? I know it sounds odd, but I think James Cameron deserves to win for Avatar for as much as effort that he put into the film and the way he sort of has caused this stir in Hollywood. It's a sort of a movie-changing, industry-changing movie, if you will, like it or not. Everybody's going crazy about the movie. It's making tons of money. People are now trying to release anything they can in 3D. So I think James Cameron probably deserves it maybe a little bit more. I was not huge on The Hurt Locker, but they're dying to give it to a woman because, like I said, no woman has won the Director of the Year, and I think this is going to be it. Kathy?
Why can't Matt go second?
Go ahead, Matt.
I'll jump in. This is one where I think who I think is going to win and who I think deserves to win is one and the same, and that's James Cameron for Avatar. Like you were saying, Ryan, I think it's just an achievement in film. And the story, I think we all, when we talked about the picture, agreed that the story was on the weak side. It certainly was nothing. It was common ground. Right. We've seen this story before. But visually speaking, this movie is a game changer. It ups the ante so much as far as what we now know. What we now know is capable of being cast onto the screen.
Mm-hmm.
For that fact alone, he deserves the Oscar for this, and I think he's the front runner. I don't know. I hadn't considered
it's a battle between these two. It's a total battle.
Well, yeah, because Catherine won the DGA award, mm-hmm. and I think only six times in the history of mankind has that winner not won the Oscar. So that's what makes her the front runner.
This could be the seventh.
Maybe not. I think Catherine will win. And she deserves to win just because she was married to James Cameron, and that you probably deserve an award for. And who I'd like to see win, little Jason Reitman.
Oh,
but he won't. It's okay, because he will be nominated again and again and again in his career, I'm sure.
I agree.
But I think Catherine will win.
Yeah, and you know, the sad thing, too, is I've been dying for Quentin Tarantino to get back into that circle, and he's finally in there, and I didn't cast a vote for him in my prediction here, or did I want him to win?
Yeah.
Hopefully down the line, that man deserves an Oscar for directing.
Was the last time he was nominated for Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He did win. He has won one Oscar, but that was for writing screenplay for Pulp Fiction.
Nice. Right. See, they gave that to him because he wouldn't, which is why they'll give this to Jason.
So that leaves us with Best Picture. This is going to be a doozy, Matt.
Yeah, now all I got to do is find it on my list. All right, and the nominees are Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air.
Kathy, go ahead. Take us away. You're going first.
I believe The Hurt Locker is going to win. I think there's a backlash happening against Avatar right now. So I'm going with The Hurt Locker, and what I would like to see win, dun-da-da, The Blind Side.
He refuses to ring the bell.
I was about to ring the bell. Wow. I knocked off my stool here.
Best picture?
No, I'm kidding. I just did that for
man.
Ryan. I don't know that I have a... You know what's interesting is I think The Hurt Locker will win, but there's part of me that thinks that there might be a huge upset and that Up will win.
Wow.
But
really?
I'm not... And I don't know if it's because of these 10 movies now instead of the 5, but I'm just looking at this list, and there's, again, kind of nothing is
jumping out.
And I know Avatar should, and I get all that, but it's not. And I, you know, I'm going with The Hurt Locker.
Wow. I'm also predicting that The Hurt Locker is going
to
win the Academy Award for Best Picture this year. It did not even make my top 10 list, so that tells you how I feel about it. okay movie, but I think it is going to win. If I had a pick, there it was, sitting there, nominated for Movie of the Year, my number one picture of the year in education. I love the film. It's getting very little love, but at least it did get nominated, so I was happy about that.
Hey, yeah,
good
nominated
film.
For
very good
picture
film.
Of the year. My pick, once again, is one and the same, the one I think should win and the one I think will win, but I'm rethinking, actually, if I think it will win. I'm going with Avatar here.
That's a good pick.
It is.
It's a good pick.
Seriously, nothing comes close to this as far as... Well, the word is picture. So what we see, nothing even approaches this. The storytelling is really the only thing holding it back. But out of this category, nothing really, like you said, is jumping out that,
right?
That really stands apart. I think Avatar is the most noteworthy film of the year. It's definitely the game changer. Avatar.
So there's our predictions on the Academy Awards. Again, email us at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. Take on Kathy. You can win a brand new poster.
Good luck.
Of The Crazies.
Yeah, all you horror fans, jump on this because it's a limited edition poster.
Yes. So do we want to take a break or keep on going, Matt?
Take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw. We're back here at CinemaJaw recording live at the Original Mothers. It's time for movie headlines.
Sweet.
Did you hear about this one, Matt? Marlon Wayans begins shooting Richard Pryor biopic in the fall. Given his limited dramatic experience, Wayans seems an unlikely pick for the part. Marlon Wayans.
I don't even know what to say to that. Marlon Wayans is like, I'm going to get you sucker two off the drawing board here.
I'd like to see Rain Pryor do the role.
Not
there
bad.
Go,
right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be better? She
yes.
looks more like him as
Wayne
a man
Brady?
Than... Huh? Wayne Brady, that'd be great.
All right, Rye, I got one for you. Former King of Queens star Kevin James will play Vince Vaughn's best friend in a marital infidelity comedy to be directed by Ron Howard. The yet untitled film will start shooting in Chicago this summer.
Wow. I'll say this. Vince Vaughn, Chicago movie, good. Kathy, you got any insight on it?
I think that that's great.
I heard
sounds
things.
Like she's hiding back information.
I heard
Kevin James playing somebody's best friend, that's a stretch, right?
Yeah.
Could be an Oscar performance.
How about this one, Matt? Walmart Stores Incorporated said today it will buy broadband entertainment provider Vudu, a deal that gives the world's biggest retailer the ability to sell movies directly through TVs and Blu-ray players over the internet.
That is frightening. Big Brother is just getting bigger, man.
It is. Now all we're going to see is Walmart rentals.
Right. They're diversifying.
Okay. Yeah.
It was bound to happen. All right, I got another one for you, Rye.
I'm impressed that they know what all that technology means.
No doubt. Have you ever seen those pictures on the internet, Walmart customers? You ever get
no.
those emails? Oh, they're hilarious. I'll forward you one.
Fanny packs.
Don't go booking your tickets just yet, but Bruce Willis, out on press tour for Kevin Smith's Cop-Out, has announced this week that he thinks Die Hard 5 will happen. Quote, I think we're going to do Die Hard 5 next year, he told MTV News.
Wow, what are we on? Die Hard,
Is it Die Hard?
Die Hard,
Die Hardest at this point?
I think he's trying to compete with the Police Academy movies.
It was
Did
a
they
great
go to
series.
Six?
Yes.
Okay, so he's got another one in him.
It was a great series, Bruce. Give it up, I say.
Yeah, well, if Rocky can do it, why not Bruce Willis?
All right, so this moves us on to movie trivia. Kathy, are you ready?
Go ahead.
The winner of this trivia will be able to give their own Oscar speech on CinemaJaw.
Sweet.
Because this
no,
trivia is Oscar trivia. Fitting with our Oscar bill. We
they
are going to let our
me.
Guests start. There are seals, in case you don't know. Kathy, are you ready?
Go ahead. I'm ready. Ready as I'll ever be. Good luck, Matt.
Name the person who has most often hosted the Academy Awards.
Johnny Carson.
Over to Matt.
Can I steal?
No.
Okay.
Steal your... The person who has most hosted the Oscars is George Clooney.
Did you have another guest, Kathy?
Bob Hope.
In case there's a tiebreaker, okay? In case there's
was
a
Was it Bob Hope?
It was Bob Hope.
Darn.
19 times.
Wow.
I was going to go with him and...
Go with your gut.
Over to Matt.
All right.
I wanted it to be Johnny.
Matt, how many Academy Awards did The Godfather receive? 1, 3, 5, or 7?
I love multiple choice. 7.
Over to Kathy. Oh, you got Christ. You got 1 out of 3 chance here. 1, 3, or 5?
Like I'm going to say 5.
The Godfather only won 3 awards, including Best Picture, but only 3 awards.
Again, my gut said 3.
Wow. So we're still at 0-0 here with the experts. We move it back over to Kathy.
The so-called experts.
Name the only film that was rated X when it won Best Picture.
Midnight Cowboy, starring Dustin Hoffman.
We got a point there for Kathy.
I was going
Booyah.
With deep throat, but
it is 1-0, Kathy.
Go back and watch that movie and tell me why it's rated X. That's hysterical.
Deep All throat right. or
mid- no Midnight Cowboy? It's like so you know.
Yes.
Tame.
Over to Matt. Here we go. Number of times Alfred Hitchcock was nominated for Best Director, Matt.
Ooh.
0, 1, 3, or 5? 0, 1, 3, or 5 nominations for Alfred Hitchcock's.
Well, this is probably one of those trick questions. I'll go with 0.
Kathy?
I was going to go with you on that one. I'll say 1.
5 times nominated.
Never won?
Never won. Alfred Hitchcock, one of our greats, and he never won.
Wow.
This moves it back over to Kathy. Please name the most nominated actor or actress alive.
Wow.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I'm going to say Meryl Streep, but I think it's like... Oh, is it? Okay.
2 to 0.
God, how do you...
But see, I thought it was a guy. But,
away.
Okay.
Over to Matt. What was the first color film to win Best Picture? Shot in color.
Wizard of Oz.
What?
Probably you know didn't this? Win Best Picture, did it?
It did not win Best Picture that year.
Is it that year? Are we talking 39?
It is 39. One of the classic years
See,
in cinema.
I
he
know.
Just pulls that right out.
I know.
Well, because it was the biggest year ever.
Yes.
And
what else was up there?
Well, I know what else was up there, and I want to say it didn't win either. I'm just going to go Gone with the Wind.
Kathy's on a roll. 3-0.
Damn. This almost. I'm going to get shut out.
It is 3-0, and this moves it over to Kathy. Oh, boy. She
I don't think
really
I've ever been
here.
Shut out, Kathy, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Kathy, Steven Spielberg.
I was shut out last time, just so that we're
you
even.
You shut out.
Oh, please.
You got one right.
He's gone.
Kathy, Steven Spielberg has won 2 directing Oscars. Name one of the films that he's won for.
Schindler's List.
4-0. Matt, I'm sorry.
Come on, Matt.
Matt, before Up's nomination this year, what was the only animated film to be nominated for Best Picture?
Toy Story.
What?
Over to Kathy.
Toys.
It was not nominated for Best Picture. Over to Kathy. We're looking for the only animated film ever to be nominated for Best Picture up until this year.
Sure. And it's something huge, like 5 or 6 years ago, I recall.
I got another guess if she doesn't get
I'm
it.
I'm saying Shrek. Yeah. What is it?
Lion King.
No.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Thank you.
Beauty
really?
Beast.
Jeez,
yes.
That's so forgettable. Yeah.
It is still 4-0, Kathy, and this clue is over to Kathy. 2 movies have been nominated for the most Academy Awards in history with 14 nominations each. Name one of them.
If I name both?
You get bonus points.
All About Eve.
Yes.
Can I name
what
the other one?
The other?
Return of the King.
Really? Aviator?
Titanic.
Titanic.
But she
seriously?
Got All About Eve. She's up to 5-0, Matt. Over to Matt.
Gotta get one right.
The game's already over. You're just trying to score a point at this point. This is actually the last clue. What is the only fantasy film to date that has won the Oscar for Best Picture?
Fantasy film?
What does that
yes.
mean, fantasy film?
Fantasy film.
Sword and sorcery?
No, yes.
Okay, it's the Return of the King.
Yes, it is. Lord of the Rings, Return
oh,
of the King.
Good.
Sweet, I'm not a total loser. Just mostly.
So, That puts us at 5-1. Kathy absolutely smoked you, Matt.
Sorry, Matt.
It happens.
But can we just put a disclaimer? Do not use my smoking of Matt in any way to compete against the Oscar picks.
I knew I was a long shot going into this. I am not the Oscar guy. I'm not. Obviously, you have a job in film, although I have a big...
Chicago films don't win Oscars, so that does not give me an edge. Come on.
You got an edge on
all
this.
Right, that moves us to our DVD section here, Matt. And really quick, I had saw this epic by Steven Soderbergh, Che. It's like 4 hours and 27 minutes long. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out on the fence. We had Charles Klein a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about how this movie's out there. Everybody here, it's epic. You got to rent it. I finally took a dive and rented this film, and I want my 4 hours and 25 minutes back. This was terrible, terrible movie. You know, A, Benicio del Toro plays Che, who is the man behind Fidel Castro's Cuban Revolution, at least the brains behind it, so they say. And the first 2 hours deal with that Cuban Revolution. It's pretty interesting. At that point, I'm ranking the film at like a CC+. It's not the worst. The next 2.5 hours goes into Che's failed attempt at a revolution in Bolivia. The man walks around the same tree in the jungle for hour and 20 minutes. You don't know what's going on. It's just more of the guy walking around and trying to take over this. It's not working. Oh, man. 4 hours I want back. I'm very upset with Steven Soderbergh. In fact, I could go as far as saying I'm banning all Soderbergh films from here on out.
Don't wow. do that.
I was upset with this movie. Do not run Che if you were on the fence like me.
Maybe they could have pared it down to 3.5 hours.
Yes. Now, Matt, I understand we have a B-movie A-list.
Yes, my B-movie A-list this week is Conan the Destroyer.
Wow!
Yeah. I wanted to mention this on my sequels list, didn't get around to it. I love this. It's my preferred one from the two, although it's not as bloody and moody as the first one. I thought it was the more fun of the two films. Listen to this cast, Rye. You got Schwarzenegger, of course, as you know, the title character Conan, and then
obviously
Grace Jones, Wilt Chamberlain, Olivia Diabo, who is most well known for the sister in Wonder Years.
Oh yes,
yeah, yeah, and she's like gorgeous in this movie. Didn't care for her in Wonder Years, but man, I was like, that's the same girl. Andre the Giant.
Where is she now?
Exactly.
Missing with boner from Growing Pains.
You got that news? I was so...
Oh, be careful.
The actor's missing.
Poor guy's the butt of every joke. anyway, I love Conan the Destroyer, man. It's just a lot of fun. If you haven't seen this movie, you know who pops up in this film? The guy...
I don't know.
He was Bob in Batman, and he's just so famous for all his sidekick roles. Terry something. I can't believe my notes cut off his name.
Oh, classic.
Yeah,
this
isn't it classic?
Guy who no one knows got cut off.
That's exactly
scary.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. This, so,
he pops up in a lot of films. Anyway, Conan the Destroyer is my B-movie A-list. If you haven't seen it, rent it, love it, get it.
Perfect. That brings us to our last segment.
Rye's Hidden Gem.
Now, my hidden gem here, I want to let you know, Steve Martin's hosting the Oscar along with Alec Baldwin. I'm really looking forward to this. So, seek Steve Martin out in a small film he wrote and starred in, 2005's Shop Girl. It's a story about a complex love triangle between a bored sales girl, played by Claire Danes, and a wealthy businessman, Steve Martin, and an aimless young man, Jason Schwartzman. The movie's funny, touching, and intelligent, and it explores two completely different relationships, even though the same girl is involved with both. I loved Shop Girl. I love Steve Martin overall, and this was a very... I guess, mature role for him. Didn't you agree?
Yes, good movie.
I've seen the movie, too. I loved it, definitely.
Yes. So I want to thank Kathy Byrne for coming back.
Thanks for having me back, you guys. I had fun.
Thank you for giving us all the inside information and helping me win money in Vegas.
Yeah, and again, good luck with that.
And again, if you think you can top Kathy Byrne's picks, email us at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. Compete against Kathy Byrne from the Chicago Film Office.
Shouldn't be too
and
hard.
If you outpredict her, you win a poster of the Crazies.
So that wraps us up this week for Cinema Jaw. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks to our producer Reno and our guest Kathy
Thanks,
Byrne.
Steve.
of the Chicago Film Office. My name is Matt Kay.
I'm Ry the Movie Guy. Thanks for listening on the SDR Network, and we'll see you next week.